Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISEYE to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Jody Habish-Sinikin of Whitefish Bay is the Democratic candidate in the 8th State Senate District special election. The general election is April 4th. Jody Habish-Sinikin, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
So Wisconsin Eye's mission is to inspire civil dialogue and inform civic participation. Why are you running for this office?
I'm running for this office because I recognize back in December, and most certainly even more so today, how Wisconsin is at a crossroads regarding key pivotal issues facing our citizens. And we need people in Madison who are representing us without extreme views, but moving our state forward.
Wisconsin's state budget surplus projected over $7 billion. How should those funds be spent?
That budget surplus is an enormous opportunity. The monies should be spent really to reinvest in Wisconsin, allow us to give our working families a break with tax cuts at this time, and also reinvest in local communities which have been struggling under the severe restrictions imposed by the legislature to have the resources necessary to keep our communities safe and protect those vital services.
Both Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss say that surplus is an opportunity for generational tax reform. They want to move the state toward a flat tax. You know, the governor does not support a flat tax, but he has included middle class tax cuts in his budget. What sort of tax cuts or tax reform do you support?
The tax reform, I agree, it is necessary for Wisconsin. We need to have a tax system that makes our state more attractive to workers moving in and certainly young families coming in. That is so important. I think that we can move forward intelligently by maintaining opportunities to preserve vital services for our state while also giving the necessary breaks to working families. They need it. We all need it.
Do you support a flatter tax in Wisconsin?
I've looked at the issue, and I really think experts can give a good, better understanding of what the far-reaching implications are. I've heard, and I understand that a flat tax can have regressive implications on people and make it more difficult to maintain those services for us going forward. And they really focus the benefit on the wealthiest of the wealthy in Wisconsin rather than distributing that benefit to where it is most needed in our working families.
What is your position on increasing shared revenues or funding to local governments? You talked a little bit about that just now. What sort of increase is needed there?
There is increases needed. I have been speaking with police chiefs in my district and other local leaders. There has been no increase in shared revenue allocated to local communities in Wisconsin for the last 15 years. There has been less than 0.5% of increase of funds available to local communities. And what has resulted in that is that we have law enforcement that does not have the money or the resources to hire and train necessary staff folks, squad cars, proactive police work, which is allowing crime to spread into District 8 communities as well in other parts of our greater Milwaukee area. We need the funds and the resources. The constraints that have been imposed by our legislature has really, in effect, been cutting off the ability of our law enforcement and our communities to protect us.
Does that shared revenue funding formula need to be reformed, overhauled? The governor's proposing directing 20% of the state sales tax. Is that something you support?
I think there's options that need to be evaluated, and I do. I have recognized that from day one in these conversations, again, with police chiefs and others, that we need to take a better look and a better application of shared revenues. The system as it has been applied by the legislature isn't working.
We talked before the interview, you're doing a lot of doors.
Yes.
What do you hear as the biggest challenge facing the 8th Senate District?
What I'm hearing at the doors, men and women alike, is folks are really concerned about how extreme the legislature is and how it's been really moved to the extremist positions, which is out of sync with Wisconsin, the general of Wisconsin, as well as in my district. So folks really want a concentration on restoring women's right to choose and health care options. They want an end to all this political games and believe that Wisconsin women deserve a law that is not 174 years old, that we can have a law like other states have passed in 2023 that restore women's rights and options and privacy and decision-making ability for themselves. And an 1849 law is not going to get us there.
So how should Wisconsin move forward on the abortion issue?
Wisconsin needs to pass a law. First of all, the criminal abortion ban of 1849 needs to be struck down. And then the legislature needs to come up with a law based on present medical understanding and societal changes that are in place at 2023 to restore women's health care and rights back to where things were 9 months ago before Roe v. Wade was struck down.
Have you made abortion the central issue of your campaign? Do you think that's a main reason why people will vote for you?
I do. I think it's a really important issue. They recognize that my opponent has such extreme views on abortion and women's health care option. It's really important for folks to understand that the abortion ban is what's front and center in our face, but the restrictions imposed primarily on doctors and healthcare providers who are at risk of being criminally prosecuted, even jailed, losing their licenses for providing necessary services, is compromising women's healthcare across the board. I've been speaking to doctors and lawyers and all different hospital administrators who are recognizing that the insistence of this legislature to refuse to move off that 1849 law is putting us all backwards. It's chilling the relationship between doctors and their patients, and it's putting Wisconsin women in a position that we have less rights, less options than our neighboring states. And to me, it's not tolerable, and it's not tolerable to the people I'm speaking to at the doors.
Crime is a serious concern for many Wisconsinites. You know, there's a constitutional amendment on the April ballot that would reform the state's bail system. Do you support that constitutional amendment?
I think it makes sense to direct our reform and changes to keep the most dangerous people behind, incarcerated where they can't harm society, and allow those who do not pose a risk to society to be released prior to their trial. So I do think that it's important to give that opportunity for us to address those concerns.
What else needs to happen to improve public safety in Wisconsin?
Again, to improve public safety in Wisconsin, we need resources. We need resources at the local level and in the hands of our law enforcement and criminal justice system to be able to move forward with proactive police work. That's what I keep hearing. In order to get ahead of this growing problem of illegal guns, domestic abuse, human trafficking, the problems that we are hearing about and are very concerned about, including reckless driving, we need officers on the street who are trained and can get ahead of the spread of that crime, including in District 8, so that those abuses don't continue going on under the radar, which is what we've been really hearing is that this constraint on shared revenues by the legislature is causing harmful effects.
A large portion of the state's budget goes to K-12 education funding. And there's a challenge currently with COVID relief dollars ending, inflationary costs, teacher shortages. What should the legislature do about K-12 public education funding?
We need to fully fund our public education system to give the students, to give teachers, to give our communities the best opportunities for our next generation. That is a priority.
Other than funding, what else can be done to improve educational outcomes for students?
We again need to bring together the experts and look at the data, understand the changes that have affected children. I'm still dealing with the consequences of COVID. I have four children of my own. I've raised them. They're now all in their 20s. But I'm very much in there in the understanding of what children need. There's no one child who needs the exact same as any other child. So we really need our schools and our teachers to be able to adapt to those changed circumstances and to provide that type of attention. Our children really are what is valuable to Wisconsin moving forward, and their education must remain a fully funded opportunity.
Do you support an expansion of the school choice or voucher system in Wisconsin?
I have concerns about expanding vouchers in the like that it removes from public purview how such funds are spent and the data that comes out of it. I believe that every parent certainly has the right to send their children to the schools that they want to. The question is whether or not it will be at taxpayer expense or not.
Transportation, major part of the state budget, but it's funded mostly on state gas tax revenues, which are declining. What do you feel are the major road maintenance and transportation issues in your district, and how do you propose to fund transportation into the future with gas tax revenues declining?
Again, these are issues that, as a legislator, I would very much want to consult with the experts who have the ideas and see the progress. We are now moving forward as a society with regard to those very expenditures and investments. So I would really want to identify what the data is telling us, what roads need repair, the bridges, where there are traffic difficulties, problems, again, with reckless driving and where that could emerge as it pertains to infrastructure. Really bring people together and evaluate it as we plan how we can address it.
And no specific road maintenance issues in your district come to mind?
None that I can think of that are front and center.
Mm-hmm. In the last two budgets, Republicans and Governor Reivers provided strong investments in health care, particularly including funding to hospitals to ensure they can address every patient, serve every patient, regardless of their ability to pay. Do you believe that hospitals need to continue receiving Medicaid funding into the future to address those needs?
I do. What is something that I have very much learned during this experience is that Wisconsin is one of the few states left, I think one of 11, that has refused billions of dollars for Medicaid expansion, just allowing a greater number of people access to that health care coverage. And certainly, we need to be a state where people can receive the health care that they need. Again, it's going to allow Wisconsin to be a place that's more attractive to workers and young people, which we need to counter the demographics that we're hearing about. We're becoming older and less population, and we need policies, including health care, that will draw more people to our state so our economy and our future is more secure.
Related to what you're just talking about here, the state's facing a significant workforce shortage, including throughout that healthcare sector, as well as across other businesses and manufacturing. What should the legislature do specifically to improve workforce development?
It's an excellent question, and I give it a lot of thought. I have given it a lot of thought. My husband and I have owned a business for over 28 years now. It's a manufacturing facility that produces textiles and fabrics. We have over 130 workers here in Wisconsin. So I can tell you, I am very much on the front lines of understanding our economy and the challenges facing small businesses in Wisconsin. We have issues retaining and attracting enough workers, and I'm very proud of the work we have done to keep our employees employed even during the pandemic, during those really, really dark times for Wisconsin just a few years ago, as you well know. So what we need to do is our legislature must put this as a priority and start thinking big picture on the policies that they are enacting are extreme. They're pushing Wisconsin back. They're making Wisconsin less attractive to workers and young people and doctors even wanting to move to Wisconsin. It encompasses a whole number of options that we could look at, but we have to stop with this extreme initiatives that forced Governor Evers to veto 126 of those bills. If you look through that list, you're going to see a number of them that put Wisconsin at a disadvantage again, not just compared to our neighboring states, but to other states in the country. We have to invest in research and in our education system. We really do have to move Wisconsin forward. Enough with this backward extremist stuff.
Is there a specific example of that you think that if the legislature had done it differently or that you will be promoting to improve workforce development?
Yes. I have heard from UW chancellors that there have been threats that not one more dollar will be invested in Wisconsin's university system. It's seen as some ideological brainwashing effort or things along that line. And the definite pushback on that type of thinking, that extremist, I think, ideological extremism, is that our universities, our research facilities, that is what drives our state's economy. It's always been what is some of the best aspects of Wisconsin. We need to invest in our education at the university level, again, at the high school and grade school level, and at the vocational level. That's where investment needs to be. Not attacking investments, but promoting further investments in Wisconsin.
A majority of Wisconsinites support legalizing marijuana in some way, either through medical marijuana or recreational marijuana or both. Where would legalized marijuana get your support?
It's an interesting question because today's front page of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the leading story was that Wisconsin is missing out on $36 million of revenue that is going directly into Illinois' tax system. $36 million just for that one state. And then we have Minnesota and Michigan also making or offering legalized marijuana. It seems, again, symptomatic of the dysfunction in our legislature that we can't address policies or enact laws that allow Wisconsin to receive some of those financial benefits and do so in a way that protects Wisconsin folks from unregulated, illegal marijuana. We are in the minority. I believe we're maybe in, there's maybe a few other states in the country that are not allowing marijuana in some form, whether it's for medical purposes or otherwise. It just needs to be looked at, and we need to make progress in some sense. Again, these Fortune 500 companies, they have a young workforce. I believe that they're probably trying to look at that issue also as one that is either progressive or regressive. Unfortunately, Wisconsin's out of sync with the rest of the country on that issue, too.
You support both medical, legalized medical and recreational marijuana?
I would have to understand how it would work for Wisconsin and look to see the pros and cons and how other states have implemented that choice.
The city of Milwaukee, a city dealing with many challenges, high levels of crime, you mentioned reckless driving, it has a looming financial crisis. Do you support allowing the city and the county the ability to raise their sales tax?
I do. I think that this legislature has put cities like Milwaukee in such a rough position that they have a difficult time providing those funds and those services to our citizens. And I'm in the greater Milwaukee area. What happens to Milwaukee happens to all of us who live in that region. And the restriction on Milwaukee's ability to fund its own services, particularly law enforcement, is putting us in a really rough spot.
What further support does Milwaukee need from the legislature?
Milwaukee needs the ability from the legislature to take care of the services that we need, to make those investments, to provide for those opportunities, to grow our city. Again, returning to demographics, you're seeing it. Milwaukee, compared to other cities in the country, including even in Wisconsin, we're falling behind. And again, it's a lack of investment. We have bigger problems. It can't just be an easy fix, but we need to start with from a place that we are able to move us forward through investing in our community.
You've worked throughout your career on environmental issues. What is an example of environmental legislation you will push for if you win this campaign?
Legislation I would push for first and foremost is protecting our local communities from the public health risk posed by PFAS and other contaminants in our groundwater. It's very important. The dilly-dallying that we have seen from this legislature on that issue for years, dragging their feet on addressing this growing threat to communities around the state, that would be very important to pursue. And as always, I prioritize protecting our natural places and our wildlife. That is some of the best aspects of Wisconsin for me personally and for so many. And we have a lot of work to do given climate change and given the crash of biodiversity to protect those places and those resources while we still can.
Last November, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels both won this district that you are running in. A Democrat has not held this seat since 1992. Why do you think you will win as a Democrat?
I think I will win because people want a change. Again, if we keep putting the same folks back in office, we're not going to be able to achieve different results. And I think people recognize that Wisconsin is at a crossroads on pivotal issues like reproductive choice, our democracy and fair elections, and our economy. We need to move forward. My opponent, Dan Knodel, has been in office now since 2009. For 14 years. Candidly, we are in a place where we are less competitive, our communities are less safe, and women certainly have less rights and less ability to have health care options than we did. And it all took place under his watch. If people want a difference, they're going to need to elect me. And that's what I'm hearing, is people do want Wisconsin to move forward. They want our district represented positively. And so I really do think I have a great chance at it, notwithstanding the gerrymandering.
There are many issues that we don't have time to dive into here. Among them, important to Wisconsinite, you mentioned a little bit of election integrity, gun rights. Is there an issue we haven't talked about today that's particularly important to you?
Thanks to you. I think we covered most of the important issues. I assume we'll both think of one maybe 10 minutes from now.
Yeah, right.
But thank you so much for all your questions. I really just am grateful for this opportunity to speak to you, and I do feel very positive about the race. We are just hearing from so many people who are working so hard, who feel the hope that we can achieve a change in our legislature and in for District 8, and I feel grateful to be in the position to help that effort.
Well, final question for you today. If you could have a magic wand that you'll use in the state capitol if you're elected, use the wand on an issue that could bring both sides together without partisan fighting and angry press releases, what would that issue be?
That issue would most certainly be restoring women's health care rights and options. Certainly restoring Wisconsin women to a place that we are not less than our neighboring state's women's situation. It just is putting us back to where we were 9 months ago, restoring Roe v. Wade and reasonable protections for women and for our future.
Well, thank you, Jody Habish-Sinikin of Whitefish Bay, the Democratic candidate in the 8th Senate District special election. The election is April 4th. And Jody Habish-Sinikin, welcome and thank you for joining us on Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.